All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 50. This is 50, right?
50.
Oh, my gosh. The big 5-0. We're almost at the one-year anniversary of the Old Moon Podcast here. I'm Blue Squadron, as always, joined, as always, with Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon. I'm Awakened Wisdomane with 765 gear score. I do a lot of endgame PvP content such as Olin's Valley, Dungeons. I recently set up ChatGPT with my little raccoon pet. You might also know him as Lil J, and he's amazing. And you can find us over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVTV before the T.
I know all about your new ChatGPT thing. I'm gonna need you to show me how to set that up because people are begging me for it. It's crazy. I don't understand why it's such a savage to me. Honestly, I don't understand why it's so mean to me all the time. It's ridiculous. All right, we're also joined by Blonde Bear.
Hello, I'm at twitch.tv/blondebear, where I'm currently playing Scholar at Olin's, grinding Deke at Olin's every morning. I just recently tapped my final T10, the Unicorn, and now I have the Krogdala Sanctuary, which is pretty pog. But you can catch me. I'm saving Debo earrings until the end of the month, and then me and Garnier are going to be tapping them together for Pen.
Right on. Oh, gosh. Well, I mean... I would love for you to be here for the one-year podcast anniversary, but if you don't make it because you hit a pen on stream and you don't make it, you know what I mean? It is what it is. And we have a special guest on the podcast with us today. He had a bald cap on and he's wearing Crocs. He does an excellent cut. Yeah, you wouldn't even know the difference. Honestly,
so similar. If you squint,
it's disgusting. Yeah, it's crazy. Tony Two Ghost, who's been playing the game probably about 6 months now, but like we all consider him still relatively new to the category. But honestly, he's becoming more of a veteran at this point. Here to give us more of like his new player perspective, because let's be honest, it's been a few years since the rest of us were new players. Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is Tony Two Ghost. Like Blue said, I've been here for about 6 months. You can catch me live almost every day at twitch.tv/22ghost. And I'll be putting out a bunch of new YouTube content very soon as well. Ooh. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Little teaser for me there. You don't tease me with a good time. Okay. Right on. Mm-hmm. Well, as you can all see, our very first topic of the day is going to be the new player experiences. So we're all very curious, Tony, when did you start BDO? What were some of the challenges that you kind of faced like right out of the gate with the game? What was the thing that kind of kept you playing?
So I started like a few days right before the permanent season changes. And then I took like a week off for a beta. But the biggest... thing right out of the gate is there was no PvP at the time for new players. So that was one thing. I spent all my time on Arsha farming my infinite pots, getting my butt kicked every day. And that was kind of the one thing that made me want to grind and get geared as soon as possible. Because I was sick of it. Always getting beat up on Arsha. But obviously we've seen a lot of changes since then. You know, with the AOS always being here, guild leagues now, that kind of things, more PvP stuff. Another thing is the game was very overwhelming to a new player right out of the gate, not knowing where to grind, what to do. Just not know, like, there's just so much stuff. Like, I mean, I used Kronz on Tavola gear when I first started playing, so that was one thing. But
you used Kronz stones on Tuvala gear?
Yep.
You know, they need to not allow that. Good we have these kinds. That needs to be disallowed. No more Kronz stones on Tuvala gear. Oh my gosh, bro.
Another thing is I came from a gacha game. So swiping was a habit for me. I came from Tower of Fantasy.
Oh, wallet.
Yes, exactly.
Tower of Wallet.
Yeah, it is a very, very expensive game if you want to compete in any of the real end game content in that game. Like, you have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on that game. But yeah, just like the video of you reviewing that guy who spent money in the cash shop buying the T10 horse gear, I have T10 horse gear sitting in my inventory from when I very first started playing this game. So yeah.
No sh- You yep. did it too?
Did the same thing. Yep. Same exact thing.
We gotta fix this, guys. This gotta get fixed. I said this is a problem, bro. They don't know. New players don't know the difference, right? Like, it says DNA, bro. I got the DNA. It is what it is. Like, it's reading's hard for a lot of us. We weren't as hooked on phonics as the other kids in school. What was, in your opinion, what's the most annoying thing about the new player experience? Kind of like leading all the way up through seasonal. Like, as you're learning the game, what did you find most annoying about the game?
I think to me, as a new player, the most annoying thing is the fairy system in this game. I hate it. I complain about it. I think it's just such an RNG money pit kind of thing. I really hate the fairy system in this game, and I still hate it to this day. It's very hard to get a good fairy unless I feel you get really, really lucky or you swipe. So that to me was the biggest thing.
Well, you can technically, get it for free. You can just roll a tier 4 fairy, right? Or you get a tier 3, you level it, you force it to tier 4, right? And then you just level it up with Lemuria. If it doesn't learn Miraculous tier 5 or it's not what you want, you just mulch it like the rest of the fairies and start again with a new fairy. And you can keep doing this, but it's going to cost you billions. To do this, like it's gonna set you back, you know what I mean? I really don't know if it's necessarily super viable. It would be more viable for an end game player that's making like really, really like a lot of money, but like for a new player to like assume that they're gonna do something like that, I would agree with you. The fairies were a little rough. Which quest line did you do, Tony? When did you start the game?
Which quest line? I started with the regular quest line. The very first, just like the OG quest line. I know some new players start at like Eternal or Land of the Morning Light, and they do get stuck across the ocean with like no way back, I believe. Luckily for me, I started with the correct one, the OG one. So, but I know that is troublesome for players.
You say the correct one. Why do you feel the other two? Because you've done Land of the Morning Light and stuff now, right? Why do you think the other two are just not good, like, starting points for new players?
I think it's... Well, the Eternal and Land of the Morning Light are very, very long quests, and you just get pretty much locked into them, I think. So, you're just stuck spamming R the whole time.
I'm sorry, is that any different than the Balanos, like Serendia, Calpheon questline?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true, but like you can still get to a certain point and then just kind of go off and get lost for the most part. Eternal's not as bad, but still just a very time consuming questline. Land of the Morning Light as well, just very, very long, very time-consuming.
Yeah, so at its core, which quest line did you like the most, story-wise?
I liked Eternal. I think Eternal is actually one of my favorite spots, and I didn't get to spend a lot of time there because I kind of skipped over all that content, but I really like Eternal. I really like the landscape there, the music. The storyline was actually pretty good. And then Land of the Morning Light would probably be my second favorite place in the game just because of how it looks. But Eternal, Eternal is actually really, it wasn't bad. I really enjoyed it.
Have you done the Odaluda questline yet?
But I think at that point
it was so far that you just kind of were spamming hard enough in any attention.
Exactly. Yeah. I just spammed through it.
Yeah. Cause Odaluda's kind of fog.
Yeah, I heard Olita's kind of dark in some places too.
What do you mean by dark? About that. Is it the dudes with the collars around their necks? The like self-induced slavery? Which part of the questline feels dark for you?
Yeah, the self-induced slavery.
Dark. Knots.
They were willing. They went willingly, okay? Like,
who wouldn't? With the Dark Knight?
All right, we need to talk about this. All right, hold up, hold up. We need to talk about this. So over the weekend, we went to the Oasis event. Three of the four of us were, that aren't losers were there. And so it's like Tony, me, and Blonde, right? And we had a bunch of other people there too. But we were playing this this game. It's a who in the room, right? So they say, who in the room has, you know, like, been in handcuffs? And what we found was that Blonde is a wild person.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely wild person. Like, a Blonde is the kind of guy, when you ask, have you ever been in handcuffs? He raises his hand and goes, what about putting a handcuffs on somebody?
Yeah. Blonde lives a way different lifestyle than the rest of us here, I think.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, I don't know if I have what it takes. It's actually just crazy. You're insane.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Absolute unit. So the Odalita questline, I actually liked exploring Odalita. I didn't mind the questline, actually. Like, yeah, it's kind of dark, but like, it is what it is. Like, you're not really following the story anyway. You're just hitting R and going through it. Do you think that there should be... Okay, let's talk about for a minute. Do we think that there should be a choice for the main story, or should they just make them, make us do the main storylines in, like, sequential order? And should they be making us do three main different main storylines? I mean, like, does any other game have you do this? Go ahead, Tony.
No, not that I've played. I think it would be wise if they force, like, first-time players to just the original questline. I think that would be best. Not give new players too many options in that sense, and just force them through the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, three, like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, just having three different quest lines to pick from at the beginning is just super, probably super, it's already, I feel, too much for new players right out of the gate.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Like, I've been saying this for a while, they need to condense the amount of quests that they have new players do. I sincerely think that, like, the questing, at a certain point, yes, you want them to do your main story. I get that. But having them do three main stories, and then, oh, to lead on top of it. Oh, and by the way, you gotta get my diet done. And then you have the journals, which are more questing, you know, like, on top of everything else. Like, I feel like it's so long before a new player actually just gets to go out and do, like kind of what they want, because everyone's like, you gotta do the main story, do the main story. They're like, which one? And you're like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, good luck. Like, you just hit O and just send them on, like, a 600 quest extravaganza bonanza, and that just kind of sucks. But, like, aside from the questing, how'd you feel about the enhancement system? A big complaint of a lot of new players was always that our enhancing system held them back. They didn't want to, like, get involved with it. Do you feel like Tuval is a good initiation into that, or do you feel like it needs to be easier? And then, like, do you feel like the enhancement system is too forced?
So when I first started playing, there wasn't the changes that because Tavala gear is super easy to enhance now, with them condensing everything into the time-filled stones. But when I first started playing, it is a lot for a new player. It is a lot. There's a lot. Like, I had to have, luckily for me, I was a streamer. The community was very, very helpful from when people started discovering me in BDO. So I got super lucky. But if you're a new player and you don't have that type of help, you're lost. 100%. You're lost. Like going from the Naru to the Tavola, not croning it. There's just a lot. But them condensing some things have made it a lot easier for players. And then, like, the 100% all the way to, what, try now, Tavola? And then you only have to hit 10 and pen for the most part. Mm-hmm. But they're getting better with it. But when I first started, like I said, if I didn't have chat helping me, I probably would have quit the game because it was a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. One thing I do want to touch on is what you started your own guild. Did you feel like you had to start your own guild? Do you feel like the game does a good enough job of trying to push you into a guild, or would you rather the game not do that? Do you feel like the game hit the kind of sweet spot of just like, yeah, I kind of just want to play on my own, so it let me play on my own? Or are you more the social type that wants to just jump right into a guild and get started, and maybe it didn't guide you enough in that department? Like, how did you feel? And then we'll talk a little bit about you being a guild master.
So I think the people in the game, like guilds that recruit and stuff like that, do a really good job at trying to get players into their guild. Especially, there are a lot of guilds out there that don't mind taking new players, like veteran players that are willing to help and teach people. We're one of those guilds that have kind of done that. But I think the game does a good job at either letting you join a guild, like, or having you join a guild, or just being a solo player if you really, really want to at the end of the day. So I think the game does a good job for that.
Okay, so, like, you didn't really feel forced to make your own guild. What prompted you to try to do that?
I am competitive, and my end game goal has always been PvP in this game. And I wanted to make a guild and just kind of try to make a name for ourselves.
Okay, so, right on. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to ask, what got you into video in the first place? Like, what, did somebody introduce you to it, or just, like, you saw it on, like, trailers or something?
So, I play Tower of Fantasy. I stream that game every day. I put about 4K hours of streaming into that game in about less than a year, give or take. And I was part of their content creator program, and they did not treat their content creator... the content creators well at all. Like, we kind of just, it's just terrible. And I got to the point where I spent a lot of money in that game, and I was looking for something new. And a friend of mine that plays on EU suggested this game to me. And, yeah, ever since I started, I just got hooked instantly.
And you lived happily ever after, because it's better than Tower of Fantasy, that's for sure.
100%. And way less.
I was about to say.
A fraction of the cost.
Probably a lot less money, too. Yeah.
Did you play many MMOs before BDO, or is BDO like one of your first MMOs? Or
I played Final Fantasy XIV for a while. I played New World. I was very, very competitive in New World. I was very big into PvP in New World. I was part of, like, creating one of the like top three guilds in entire NA on New World. So hearing about BDO being an, you know, open sandbox PvP MMO, that kind of, I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. And then you guys have way better looking waifus than Tower Fantasy. So.
That's what I said when you showed up, bro. That's all I'm saying is, didn't I not say our waifus are just way better? Not that, like, what we're doing right now on stream is literally like looking at our waifu. There are some husbando, I think that's what they call them, in here. But like this is just kind of how it is. Now I'm curious, the early forming of the guild. I know how hard this is. I have built guilds before, plural. So like, I know what it's like to try to start from scratch. What were like the toughest things to overcome as a new guild that was trying to get into Node Wars?
So our guild was created. It was just actually a couple friends started a guild. We weren't taking anything seriously. Instead of working on things like guild skills and stuff like that, we were working on the guild galley, stuff like that. And then being a streamer, and then ended up getting like BDO partner. It started getting easier to recruit people because on paper it looks good. You know, Tony Two Ghosts, he's in the flock, he's a BDO partner streamer. And honestly, some of the veteran players that have been playing this game for a long time found me through my stream and joined my guild. So that was easier. That was the easy part. The hard part, it was transitioning over from like a PvX to more of a PvP guild. Because it's hard telling guild mates, hey, you guys gotta get geared up or get replaced kind of thing. So there was a lot of struggle with that. And then absorbing another guild, alliancing. I mean,
okay, let's take these one at a time. So getting the guild skills, did you start from scratch or did you pick up an old guild shell?
We started from scratch.
Okay, so you understand better than anyone how hard it is to get guild points, especially when you're starting out. How did you go about recruiting people when you started?
At that point, we would take just about anybody that wanted to join, as long as they passed the vibe check and knew our goal was ultimately start getting into Node Wars at some point. Yeah, it was just finding the right attitude. It doesn't matter. At the time, it didn't matter gear score. It didn't matter if they were new or old people, just if they fit into the guild and vibed with everybody. Because a lot of our guys do spend a lot of time in Discord together. Like, we do have a very active guild Discord. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's the key, is to try mm-hmm. to build, like, a super active community. Is one of the mm-hmm. hardest parts of kind of starting... starting a guild up. Now, I forgot. I think I glossed over it a little quickly, but Jay and Blonde, what are your guys' thoughts on, like, the questing? We'll wrap back around to this. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Like, is there a solution? I understand the developers wanted, like, new players to experience all these quest lines and do all this stuff. Do you feel like the quests are just too long? Do you feel like they need to just force one?
I feel like it's kind of like, I don't know. It's a result of just the game growing and aging over time. And I don't know if there's, like, really a way to I mean, technically you don't have to do the quests, but maybe they should remove the really core important things that you get from quests and then have them condensed in somewhere. Like, you know how, like, when you do the Magnus, you get, like, this or that. They could condense all, when you do Odalita, you get the 1 AP. When you do Kama, you get the 1 DP. Perhaps they should condense all those, like, core stats and features into one overarching quest line or something, and then all the other quest lines, right, can be just, like, I don't know, cosmetic stuff, right? If you finish Odalita, you get the some sort of Odalita something. Or when you finish Kama, you get, like, I don't know, some sort of cosmetic feat, so that it doesn't feel like it's forced. Because I do feel like, you know, obviously, like, if you need to do the Magnus to get the fast travel, to get the global storage, super, super useful, needed. And then for boss splits, Line of Morning Light, you get the two crystals, right? Those are extremely important. And then you got the journals and stuff, right? And so... perhaps they should make some of those a little bit more optional and only cosmetic, and then put the important things where it matters, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
I think at the stage that we're in the game, yeah, as much as I would love for everybody to do the story, and I agree with Jay, it's not necessary, so just don't do it. And then when you want the free AP and DP and all that stuff from it, just go do it. But I think that causing players to be forced to do it makes it so they like it even less. And I think it would just be a better system if they took the quests, had a few condensed main story quests that, like, yeah, you get the Magnus, yeah, you get this or that. And then if you want to do the full entire quest lines, then you can do them on your own time if you're interested in it. Leave, like, the basic stuff, like the pets or the inventory or whatever, that's the free stuff. Obviously, I think that you should have to do it once to get the condensed storyline for the seasonals. I think that just kind of makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because it still should be experienced at some point. Just, yeah, if it's an optional thing. I think it's the point that we're at with us having, like, so many different regions. It shouldn't be necessary. But there are some that have, like, key knowledge and certain things if you're interested in that. If you're not interested in it, then, yeah, I guess you shouldn't really have to do it at this point in the game. Because there's just so many stories. And so for a brand new player, they've got to do, what, like, 9 campaigns that are, like, 190 quests long? So, it would be nicer if the quests were done better. And they are revamping some of the old ones and making it better with, like, the interactive stories and stuff. And that's cool. But for players, like, that are joining in the middle of this, like, reform, it's kind of awkward. And so, yeah, I think at the point where I just need to go, like, to a different stage.
All right, now we're going to go around the circle. We talked about favorite quest line with Tony earlier. Let's talk about what's our least favorite quest line in the game. We'll end with Tony here. Least favorite quest line in the game, Blonde, go first.
I think everybody is gonna probably choose this one.
Valencia 2. No, the required ones currently. Which one's your least favorite?
Probably still Valencia Part One then. I don't know. Everything
Really?
else isn't really too bad. The desert's just not really a fun thing to traverse, and going through all that stuff and the weird back and forth. I mean, I did it back in the day. A lot of people probably don't like Valencia One because you do it a million times to, because that was the only way to get fail stacks. Remember, like they gave like a bunch of fail stacks to that quest line, and people spammed that to no end. So I haven't done any other quest line multiple times. Like I haven't done Mountain of Eternal more than once. I haven't done Land of the Morning Light more than once. I haven't done Odalita more than, I think, twice. I haven't done Kamma more than twice, maybe three times. But the ones you've spammed over and over again are pretty bad. You know what I mean? I think Valencia's pretty bad.
I think that okay, let's see. What's your J's first?
I
Least
kinda,
favorite.
okay, just like pure. Not necessarily with like how it's done in Calpheon, but just the story of Calpheon is like they went on with like Jordine and stuff. I just feel like Jordine didn't have much of a,
Oh my
I
God, he's such a loser. He's such a whiny rat, dude. He's such an unlikable. I can't
I
invest in
think
him.
it, okay. I think Calpheon's storyline was like, you know, it was made back in what, 2016, 2017, so it's a little older on the storyline. So I feel like BDO didn't really have, like, I feel like Elezra came later, right? Elezra came, they started pushing for Elezra like 2019, 2020, and then she had a way better like antagonist story than Jordine, because Jordine had like, you know, he was a little, you know, I think they wrote him back when they just needed an antagonist on Calpheon,
Yes.
and still feel.
With the
And
Belmore
Calpheon just, it's
possession.
that, like, yeah, the Belmorn possession. I just feel like they just needed someone to be the big baddie just for Calpheon. Whereas Elezra feels a lot more like bigger over in the entirety of the story of the lore. And so maybe they need to, they've been trying, like, I think they tried to like fit him in more in Mountains of Eternal Winter. But I do think they did mention they already reworked Velia, right? Belenos. They just recently reworked Serendia, so maybe they'll start reworking Calpheon and make him a little bit better. But as it currently stands, Calpheon is my least favorite lore-wise.
I think you guys are capping. It's Medea for sure.
Medea.
Medea is
What?
easily the
You don't like
worst quest
Medea?
line. No, and keep in mind,
Medea. Medea. I like
I'm
Medea.
not
And
talking about
Ulaquita.
Ulaquita. I'm not talking about Ulaquita. Ulaquita is different.
Okay.
I'm talking
Okay.
about Medea. The Medea quest line
Yeah.
is terrible. Okay, tell me one thing that happens in the Medea quest line, Tony.
I have no idea.
There it is. There it is.
Can't tell you.
No one gives a shit.
You talked to that kid
Yeah,
a million
nobody
times.
cares. Yeah, nobody cares.
Listen,
Yeah, no one even knows who that kid is. We're still wondering who that is.
it's Breeds the Third.
Yeah, and
Yes.
that, again, that means nothing to us. Okay.
Yeah. The only thing I remember is Red Nose. That's it. Other than that, I don't remember any of this. No, any of this
It's
story.
from the Valinor
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just bad. Like, start to finish, the Medea quest line is just miserably bad. I don't like it at all. I think it's funny that we all have different main stories that we hate the most. But like, again, Medea is just such a speed run. You're literally hitting R and going next as quickly as you possibly can in that quest line. And then you have to do the Medea, the two, and again, you don't know what's going on the whole time because like by the time you reach Medea, you've realized that questing in BDO is just, I'm just gonna spam R as quickly as I can and go to the next quest. And it's just like the region sucks too. The grind spots suck. Like everything about Medea, and I've said this before, it's just kind of miserable, and that makes the
You
whole
didn't like
quest.
Susan's?
Well, no, I did 6 years ago when they were popular, right? Like we're talking like nowadays, you go to Saucon's, you go to Elric's, you're making a whopping like 25 million an hour. Woo! Big spender. You know what I mean? Like it's just not very good. So like. There's just not much in the region that kind of drives me to it, and I'd love it if they just like removed it or like reworked it or just made Ulaquita required instead, to be honest with you. Like do like a little prelude quest and then like to give backstory and then make Ulaquita. Honestly, f that. Stop adding quests. No more quests. We need less
I
quests.
mean, they didn't make it mandatory. Ulaquita was not mandatory. You could just go get your boots immediately, and
Yeah, but
whoever that wanted to do it did it.
you need that alchemy stone. It's not even a question. It's absolutely mandatory for new
What?
players. To get the alchemy
Oh,
stone.
new player
Yeah,
means.
definitely for new
Yeah.
players.
Yeah. Like, you're a veteran player, nobody cares.
Yeah,
But like
I haven't even touched that quest line
I
because I
think you
went
can
and
do
got my
three
boots.
cons faster than you can do the story of Koa.
That is true, but you're not. If you take anything but the life con hard on PC, you're actually griefing. Well, also, true. Console true. As well. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I took the destruction one.
Ah,
I did sell it though, and got my Vel's heart. So, with that money.
Who bought
I forgot,
it?
I forgot that that happened. Somebody, yeah, that's honestly an even better them. Question.
I was going another to stupid exalt idiot. It. I was going to exalt it and make a video for you, Blue, just to even troll you harder. But then I was like farming those, whatever they were called, to exalt it. I was like, yeah, no way. So
yeah, I mean that's crazy. So like, did you feel like you felt guided, kind of like? With the guild system, when you went to go make a guild, Donnie, obviously the guild points is a massive hurdle. How many weeks did it take you to get the guild points to be functional? Because it's tough to, I know it's tough to recruit people at the beginning. You're like, hey, we have guild buffs. We don't have guild buffs. You know, like, hey, we definitely have all the super active community. There's two people in Discord. Like you don't really have very much. So like, how long did it take you to get like on the ground and rolling as far as like skill points go? Because like, you have to get a bunch of people in the guild so that you can do bigger guild quests, which, by the way, is fast backwards. As far as like trying to build a foundation for a guild goes, I think that they should structure that differently. But like, how long did it take?
So, like I said, when we first started playing, it was just a few of us who just started, and our goals weren't aligned with PvP at the time. But I believe there was an item you can buy to reset the guild skills, and definitely it was like a couple months of progress, and then we finally reset the guild skills and did all the PvP and Node War stuff.
You reset the guild skills?
Yeah, because we did not have any of the Node War guild skills at the time. We did not have any of them. And then we started doing Node Wars, and you did that VOD review and called us out on not having any of the guild skills, so...
Oh my god, so you spent money? No one in the history of the game has ever spent money on the guild skill roll coupon. That is insane.
It's like a first time buy.
Literally, though. I can't even believe they sell one in this shop. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. So how long did it take before you had like the passives and the guild skills together? How many weeks?
So we still only have... we are missing 7 of the top right. So we only have 2 out of the 9 on the top right. But other than that, I mean, it took months, definitely months.
Oh my god. Yeah, see, like, and I think that that's a serious problem. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest, I think that's a serious problem, and I think the way that they do guild skills, let's talk about guild missions for a moment. The fact that, so for those of you that don't understand, if your guild is a certain size, it dictates how large of a guild mission you can actually get done. So if you only have 10 people in your guild, you can only do small guild missions, which give you an extremely small amount of guild EXP. And then as you get more people into your guild, you can actually get more guild EXP by doing like the bigger missions. All of the missions are done solo because they're horrendously designed. But I'm not even necessarily sure. Like, there should be, like, solo guild missions, and then there should be, like, guild missions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, like, people have to come do, and they should give you massive amount of EXP and stuff. I think that they need to standardize the EXP among all the guild skills, mainly because it's already super hard to start building your own guild in the first place. Trying to recruit people, you essentially have to lie to a new player. Like, without mincing words, you're essentially lying to people to try to get them in the guild, even to just sit in there as an account that's just sitting in the guild. So that you can pretend to be a bigger guild, so that you can do the bigger guild missions, so that you can get the guild skills. And if you have no one with a Carrick, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the fact that if you hit G and you go through like the guild skills in like the missions in game, this is somebody, one of the listeners just brought this up. The way you find guild missions is so archaic, terrible, and miserable that like, I don't even understand how this hasn't been updated yet, to be honest. Like, they constantly try... They're trying to buff how, like, guild missions are done and stuff. For those of you that don't know, the way to get guild missions is they're different on every server, so you can swap servers, and the guild missions will be different on the next server. And they give you a mix of different guilds that you can pop for your guild on that server. There is no guarantee that the guild mission that you want to do is going to be here. And I think that, again, this is a horrible... And then the guild missions refresh every, like, what, 5 to 10 minutes? As shown by the timer right here. And so, like, you have entire, like, group chats. Like, the sailing group chat, like the Dancing Marlin Tavern or whatever, is literally dedicated to telling people where all the sea monster missions are so that people can go pick them up. So, yeah, so the missions refresh every 10 minutes, and the people always have to tell you on different servers what guild skills you're going to run, or like what guild missions are on that channel, and what size the guild mission is. In my opinion, all of the guild missions should be available on every server all the time. And if people want to run, if I'm going to go out and gather, and I want to support the guild and do that, I should be able to just pop a gathering mission and get that done. Like, as it is right now, there are basically only combat guild missions. The life guild missions are a complete joke. You can go out and gather Roughstone. They're relatively easy, but no one does these. There's like, you see how there's only 3 offered on this server, and then there's 3 full pages of combat missions. The trading missions, obviously, that's been removed from the game, so nobody cares. But like, this stuff is archaic, and like, this is the system that new players like want to jump in and do, and like, this is how they're introduced to our game, is this guild mission system with, and by the way, you need like something like 600 guild points or something, or 700 guild points to get basically all the passive and active skills. And that's what new players want. If you're going to recruit a new player to your guild, you have to have these skills. Mm-hmm. If you don't, no one wants to join your guild. Like, like that's what they're here for. They're not here to be in your community. You have to try to show them that there is a community, then they might jump in if you're lucky, because that's how it works. But like, I think that the guild mission system is kind of miserable. How did you feel about making your elephant?
Oh, that was a pain, because apparently, we just actually started doing that, because now we're doing T3s, but,
you only just started on this journey. This is going to be good.
So the thing was, is I was told by numerous people that there was like a free guild elephant that you would get from the guild manager in Valencia.
Mm-hmm, there is.
I don't know. I can't, there's no mission for me for that.
Turn all quests on.
Yep, I did that. We did. I had 2 other leaders from our alliances in my stream, or in my in my Discord, just streaming to them. All missions are on, and it's just not there.
Well, they did change it recently. They may have just removed it altogether, and it's really easy, because all it's going to do is it's going to give you a, it's just going to give you like a T1 elephant, which is already like a joke. You just go out and catch one.
So yeah, we already had, Our guildies making elephants. We're already through that process. We just got our 2 guild houses to be able to craft the gear, hold the elephants type of thing. So yeah, we started doing that. Yep.
Oh, okay. So like, which guild house did you buy? How much money did it cost you?
We did the ones in Valencia, and I think the first one was like 50 million, and the second one was like 100 million. So we put bids up and got them instantly, actually.
In Valencia?
So, yeah, in Valencia.
A lot of people, a lot of people don't know this, but you can actually go through, you can buy a guild house through the guild auction system in Sandgrain Bazaar, and you can actually get a really, really cheap guild house, because by Cadres. Like that will help you make Valencia elephants too. It's a little more inconvenient because you're not in the middle of a city. But like, it's way cheaper, and not very many people know about that. But you only really need, this is like super specific guild knowledge. Like going to bid, did you have to look up a guide or something to go bid on a guild auction house, or what happened?
Nope, just bid. Was looking at like the bid page, and we got lucky. Maybe we just got lucky, and I bid like, I think it was like 50 mil and then 100 mil for the second one. And yeah, we got it within like the 17 hours after the bidding. So it wasn't a struggle at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how did you know when to put the bid in?
No idea. Just went there, bid on it.
Just got lucky, you know, that's one of the biggest struggles.
The rest of my account. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that's one of the biggest struggles, is that like, people don't understand when to bid or how to bid or where to go to the auction. But you got really lucky. Because those auctions only happen every 2 weeks. And like you happen to get one and then you won the auction and then you were good. But like twice, a lot of new players or a lot of new guilds do not have this experience and they really struggle with this. There's no guides on it. There's no really way to like make guides on it unless you're a guild master and a content creator. And like you can like show, you know, like, hey, this is what it looks like. Hey, this is what you have to do. It's kind of miserable. Like I thought about making one of those videos, but it's so niche. But like there's hundreds of like guilds that like need this kind of knowledge and it's just not there. Like and people just don't know this stuff.
Yeah, I got super lucky. But like I said, I do have quite a few veteran players in my guild. So they help out quite a bit.
Oh, well, that's good. So, at least they kind of know what's going on. As far as Node Wars go, how did you feel like it was like a super struggle to try to get a guild into Node Wars? Or like what were the kind of hurdles that went into that?
At first, it was definitely a struggle. I mean, until we started actually really recruiting PvP members, yeah, it was definitely hard. But after, you know, a few weeks, it just started to come together. You know, trial and error.
Yeah, it's basically how it'd be. What was your, like, usually you just drop in and then you're going to get zerged.
Our very first time dropping in, we dropped in an uncapped just to try to snipe a spot, and we immediately got zerged off by Omni. It was like 50 man uncapped or something like that. Yeah, we got locked out, and after that, we were shifting around shot callers because we recruited a very specific person to shot call for our wars. Those couple wars were very rocky because they said they had experience shot calling and they did not. So like the first couple weeks, first month or so, a month and a half, it was rough. Once we started putting the right people in the right places and started recruiting we have some very good ex-Siege players in our guild. Once we started finding those people, getting the right people in the right places, everything started to finally come together. So,
yeah, I mean, a good shot caller or like an entertaining or a fun shot caller is probably at the core of like forming a new guild and making sure people have fun with Node Wars, because like it doesn't matter if your shot caller is like good, especially when you're a new guild. All that matters is that everybody's having fun because you're going to lose. Yep. Like you're 100% you're going to lose. And that's just the way that it goes. But like, it's a very delicate thing. New players, like, first PvP experience is a very formative experience. If they have a bad time, they probably won't try PvP again for a long time, or they'll hate it for a really long time. Just because, like, go ahead, Jay.
Oh, no, I was just, finish your thought, because I was gonna, just finish your thought, okay. And I'll interject after.
So, like, a new player is going to have a very formative experience in their first, like, Node Wars and their first Sieges, or, like, really, they're not going to go to Sieges. It's just going to be T1, T2 Node Wars, GVGs, Battle Arena, stuff like this. And it's extremely important to be, like, super welcoming and, like, explain to them that it's okay to get farmed. It's totally fine to die. Getting over that hump of, like, watching your character just eat the ground. It's really, really hard. I don't know why, but like a lot of players have like an ego with their character. They don't want to see their character die. Dying is like taboo, a bad thing. But once you get over the fact, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna die, and like the guild thinks that's okay. It's okay to die. And like it can be funny sometimes. Like that's when you get people to kind of invest in your guild and have a good time, I think. And that's what a lot of new player guilds I think struggle with. They try to get a little bit too like competitive too early. So Tony, as you kind of progress through the game, now you're a GM, and I say that like with quotation marks because you don't really run the guild, do you, anymore?
No, I'm asked to do certain things here and there, but literally I'm just the face, smile and wave for the most part. I have been picking back up shot calling though.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I actually enjoy it quite a bit. We do have another person in our guild that does quite a bit for the guild, and he shot calls. We're probably going to change it off and swap between it, because we do Node War at least 3 times a week for the most part. But I enjoy it. I really do like shot calling. I was a little rusty. I shot called last night in a 1v1, but It was horrible. I was definitely out of practice.
Oh, who did you 1v1? Was it a close guild or was it like supposed to be a sweaty thing, like a sweaty fight?
It was supposed to be like a 1v1. I think it was against Atlas, and we were in Valencia territory, and it's just coming back to shot calling after the vacation and having the time off. It's just, it's hard. Shot calling in deserts is the hard. It's so hard. It's such a pain, especially on the node that we were on last night. We were on like
go
desert.
To the sand. Go to the sand dune.
No, you say northwest and it's 50-50. Go east. I'm telling you, you just got to use it. People don't know cardinal directions, which is why you have to say the true American cardinal directions are north, south, left, and right. Like, I'm not joking when I say you should be just saying north, left. Like, it just makes it, it takes the guessing out of it. Like, there's just no, there's no way around it. So, like, now let's talk about your player experience a little bit, Tony, because, like, I did want to touch on, like building a guild and stuff, because that can be really hard and some of the challenges that can kind of go into that. You are 735 gear score now, right?
737 with my Pennarch when I'm farming. Well, I'm basically farming only Kama Sylvian spots right now.
Yeah, careful, Jay. He's coming for that ass, man.
I'll be heading back to Highlands because I want to get another pair of boots and another set of artifacts, because I'm going to be making an extra pair of boots and gloves for evasion for uncapped PvP. So that's what I'm going to be working on.
What class are you playing now?
I play Sage mostly, Succession Sage mostly for PvP. Oh. So I grind on Lawn and Wizard at the moment.
So you grind on Lawn and Wizard, but you're playing Sage? How do you tag that? What's going on with that?
So I either pay the money to tag it or, well, now I'm going to have to, once the tag event goes away, I'll probably just be Lawn Sage. But during the tag event, I tagged the Wizard and I've been enjoying him in Ash Forest, and I'll be taking him to Crypt, I think, as well. So,
yeah, they did remove most of the accuracy requirement from Crypt. How has your grind experience been? What was the toughest part of the gear progression? I would assume that it's probably like the Kafras grind, like
Kafras the 650. Kafras. Mm-hmm. Kafras are the gatekeeper for most players.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, very time consuming. Yeah.
Okay. What keeps you going? What keeps you playing the game?
Depression.
fill the void.
I just am very competitive and I want to be good at what I do, so I enjoy it. Like, I don't get burnt out in grinding. The only time I think I've ever got to the point of like the burnout was farming Ranaros for my infinite health pot. That place was by far,
it's where dreams like, go to die. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And then, like I started farming Dekia Ash. I died twice within 10 minutes yesterday and today. And I was just like, forget this. And then I go ahead and leave Dekia Ash, grind an hour of regular Ash, and drop 3 Debo Necks in 1 hour. So, like, I'm like, why would I want to put up with the pain of Dekia Ash when I could just farm Ash Forest?
I was just gonna say, what was the moment where you like, a lot of players try BDO and, you know, they get into that new player experience and stuff like that, and then a lot of them just quit like halfway through because, you know, they get lost and stuff. But what was the one moment where you knew that, hey, this is BDO, this is going to be the MMO that I'm going to be playing for the longest time? Like,
I would say right out of season on my Dark Knight, just farming Blood Wolves, and people telling me, hey, this is the game where you kind of got to learn key inputs. You got to learn your rotations. You got to, you know, so
the combat system, yeah.
The combat system in BDO blows every single MMO that I've ever played completely out of the water.
It ruins it for other girls. I know.
There's no discussion when it comes to BDO's combat system, because it's not like you just have to learn your rotation. Yeah, it's just, it's very interactive. So that's what I love most about BDO is by far just the combat system. It's fantastic. It takes that toll of grinding that same spot for hours and hours on end a lot easier when you really enjoy the class that you play on. So like when new players come to my channel, I always recommend for them to just find a class. I actually have a link to your choose your class guide in my channel as a command blue.
Oh,
because no kidding, bro. I'm just like go watch this, go follow this guy, go sub to his YouTube. Like, this guy put in the work to show every single class, and I use the same line you use. Go through that. If you don't find a, you know, class that doesn't look good to you, don't play the game, but I'm sure you will. And that's what I tell all new players, because this game has so many different classes, like, and it's just the animations on every class. Besides, I think, like, the one class that I play that I think is a lackluster of animation would be Succession Lan. I think that's, like, the one mediocre kind of, like, animations. But, like, every other class that I've touched...
That's how I felt about Lan, too, bro. But yeah. I came from Dark Knight, but so did you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Dark Knight, like, playing Awakening Dark Knight as a new character at Blood Wolves was...
It's wild.
I fell in love with the game. I fell in love with how just the combat system, the animations, just how beautiful the class looks, how beautiful the animations look. Like, you can tell they put their time into the combat system in this game, for sure.
I'm a little bit jealous of the new players, like, today, because, you know, you get all these, like, amazing, like... bonuses, like a free dream horse with all the skills and stuff. I was actually showing a new player BDO yesterday. It was her first time playing BDO. We were going through the Balanos quest line. She saw this white horse, she saw the Pegasus. She was super excited about it. I told her, like, the game actually gives it to you now. And after she acquired it, she was so happy. We didn't get through much of the questing, but, you know, that's okay. She was just enjoying herself, and that was the most important thing. And then she discovered the costumes and the pearls. There was this joke that my chat was doing. I was showing her how to, like, dye her costume, and then people in chat were like, oh my gosh, she's already doing the end game of BDO. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she did.
Oh, the true end game in any MMO is passion. 100%. I mean
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, on my lawn I have, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh.
Like 21 costumes on my lawn. That's just one character. That's just one character so far, you know. So, but yeah, like, I just, yeah, really, really enjoy the combat system. And that's why I don't think I'll be able to, like, I got invited to another beta called Wuthering Waves. It's a gacha game. That's where I came from. Love gacha games. But I went back to play, and I played like 3 hours, and I was like, I can't, the combat's too slow. It's just, it doesn't feel interactive. It just doesn't feel like the game that I've been enjoying for the last 6 months. So, like, I just can't see myself going anywhere anytime soon. So.
Right on. Yeah, no, like, I mean, like, it's just a fantastic game. Like, what made you roll off of Dark Knight?
At the time, I think Dark Knight, the skill ceiling in that class is pretty high. Like, min-maxing that class, you definitely got to put the time in. And I didn't want to put the time in min-maxing Dark Knight when I could play something a little more low APM and get my gains. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted more focus on... just gear progression. I do see myself going back to Dark Knight at some point, though, because it is still by far my favorite class in the game. Awakening Dark Knight is my favorite. But I rolled off Dark Knight and I went to Awakening Lawn, and then when I hit my main hand, Pen BS, I rolled to Succession. And Succession Lawn is, like I said, besides the lack of, like, animations on Lawn, it's a really good class in PvE and PvP. It's just super good. And I was able to farm, like, much tougher spots to get my gear progression. Like, I was doing, I think I did Darkseeker's Retreat, and I was 301 AP, 395 DP, and the requirements are, you know, a little higher than that. And I had, like, I didn't struggle out there at all on lawn. So, like, it made it a little easier for me. While Dark Knight is a lot more of a glass cannon type class. So instead of struggling, I was able to make your progression probably just faster and easier. So.
Right on. And it certainly helps to be absolutely carried out of your entire mind. Getting like being reported all the time must be exhausting. Oh, yeah.
Every day I get called RNG carried all the time. Always.
Tony, it's because you are.
I know. I know.
And I just want you to know, I want to be called RNG carried. Someday they will be able to call me RNG carried when I get something.
I used to take offense at it a little bit at first. I'm like, I'm not RNG carried. I mean, I've done nothing but grind since I started playing this game.
Being on the other side of RNG carried.
I am in fact RNG carried. I mean, I'm triple pen black star already. I got my compass in 82 hours. Like, yeah, I'm carried, very carried in this game. Yeah. My first very big moment of getting carried in this game is I think I wasn't even playing the game 2 weeks, maybe 10 days at the time. And they had the moon event going on where you had to put the three pieces, the red, the blue, the yellow piece of the moon together. You open it up, you get a goodie. Well, I got a boss bag and I pulled the Garmoth's heart from that moon fragment event within 10 days of playing this game. And I'm like, do I sell this? Do I keep this? What is this? You know? So, yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, you got Garmoth, you got Vels, you got your Black Stars. I mean, it's just been absolutely kind of a ride.
But I'm full silent, Fallen God at the moment, too. Yeah.
I am. So are you still recruiting for the flock? Give us an advertisement.
We are, in fact, still recruiting. We are looking for more experienced PvP members at this time. We're going to be definitely more strict on who we take going forward. We are doing T3s and Siege. We definitely want some more veteran players. So that's what we're looking for.
Okay. You want my professional advice?
Yeah.
As someone that's built many guilds, you're not looking for professional players. You're not looking for veteran players. You never want to recruit veteran players. You know why? Because they're guild hopping rats. Most of the veteran players in BDO, they join your guild, they chill out for a while, and then they leave because they're not loyal to you. They built their game experience in another guild. What you want to do is you want to take a new player and you want to show them how to play the game because you invest in them, right? Like what people don't understand is people always think that it's reversed, like it's a privilege being in our guild. No. It's a privilege to have those players playing in your guild. That's the way that you basically need to think about it. And like the way you pay them is, we're going to show you how to play the game. And the exchange is they get to actually play in a reasonably competitive Node War guild for the first time. What that does is it also builds loyalty to your guild and people stay. The vast majority of people will not leave if you build your community around that kind of a concept like that.
We definitely have gotten lucky and gotten some very experienced players that have stuck around and have put in a lot of effort and a lot of work to be competitive in Node Wars. So we've gotten really lucky, I think, with the people that we've gotten. But I'm not always against taking new players. But what I'm looking for are for players that know their classes, that know their super armors, that know their frontal guards, that know, you know, those type of things. That's what we're looking for. Those type of players right now.
Why do you need that?
Because I just feel like
Are you capping a 50 man Node War yet?
Between our alliances, yeah. I mean, yeah, we are.
Okay. Are you capping an 85 man Node War yet?
No.
Okay, there you go. The bodies are useful. How many days a week can you cap a 50?
I would say we could probably cap 40 to 50 3 days a week.
That's not bad. You can do it more if you had more players. I'm telling you, so everybody else, the reason I'm trying to warn you about this is because every single other guild in the scene does this, and this is why they fail. It's because their definition of moving up and trying to become a stronger guild means that we're going to try to just recruit only players Like, we're going to PvP trial. You guys do a PvP trial?
We are starting to do that. I was one of the leaderships in the guild that was actually against that. Because I feel like saying no to a player that fails in a PvP trial at the moment does not mean that they're a bad player. I feel like players that may need some guidance or some help, maybe getting better on their class, could end up being a very, very good top fragger. You know, you just don't know.
That's why you don't necessarily need a veteran player. You need players that are eager. You need ambition. That's what you're looking for. You need the people that are going to show up. You're like, hey, you have no Node Wars experience. How many Node Wars can you come to? They're like, I can come to 3 to 5 Node Wars a week. I literally have no life. You're like, that's our guy. That's who I want in my guild. That's
a very, very good point. And that's the kind of point that I was trying to make across with some of the other leaderships is I feel like it can be discouraging to people. Be like, yeah, no, you didn't cut it, man. You failed in a BA trial or, you know, this and that, like, so long, you know, and then that person ends up against us and ends up fragging out against us, you know, in the future. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Blonde, I do believe that you have to go, don't you?
I got to run, but I want you guys to continue because it's a good conversation.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and give your closing thoughts there.
Twitch.tv/Blonberry. Tony2Ghost is a really cool, awesome streamer, and he's new, and I like to party, and I am going to be grinding all ins every morning at 6 a.m. Thank you, bye.
he does like the party, see you, that's for sure.
Love you, buddy. Yeah, no, right, absolutely.
Thank you, bye.
Idea.
Okay, so... Tony, are there any other things that, like, as a new player, you felt were very important?
Yeah, I think some of the things that players and new players, well, new players specifically, what to hold on to and what to sell. Like, me as a new player, I did not tap any accessories. I literally just tapped my first Tet accessory, like, 2 weeks ago. Just spending money and blowing money finally, because I got to a point in the game where I felt like I could waste some money. But I did not tap any accessories. I sold everything, any accessories. I just put them on the market, sold them, got the raw silver for them, and just stacked my silver, going for pen boss armor, that type of things. Obviously saving the Caphras, right? People need to know to save the Caphras. Like, I do see people asking, you know, I do know people who quite a few new players have sold their Caphras. They don't realize how important they are.
I mean, like, you can sell your Caphras. You can absolutely make a case for someone selling their Caphras to get their infinite potions faster, to get their pens faster, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's totally fine. But at a certain point, you are going to need Caphras. So, like, some people choose not to sell them. I think it's totally fine if a new player sells Caphras. If a new player's vendoring Cronstones, we have another issue entirely. Right, or using Kron stones on Tuvala gear is actually just disgusting. So, like, how do you feel like they should, like, improve it? Do you have any thoughts on, like, improving it? Like, the simplification thing is helping for sure. But, like, knowing when to save and when to throw items away?
That's a tough one because it's definitely... I feel like that's a player... by player kind of thing. Like me, who has nothing to do in my life but play BDO and stream this game every day, I look at this game at a much different approach than somebody who may only have an hour or two a day or even only a couple hours a week of playing this game. Right. So, like, I'm able to spend the time grinding literally everything out. Like, buying the infinite health pot and the mana pot, I would never. I have the time to go grind it. I'm just going to go grind it out. And that's what I did. You know, I graduated right out of season. And, like, another thing is people don't know when to graduate their character or may graduate their character too early when they could spend more time on a seasonal server where it's a little more peaceful grinding out those infinite health pots or other things that they might want to grind or on the servers. What are the, like, the Olivia servers, Olivia servers? Like, spending time on those. Olivia. But, like... me, who has the amount of hours a day, I don't want to spend money on things that I can grind in game. So grinding out my infinite health pots not only Am I getting the health pots by grinding them out? I'm making, you know, I made a decent amount of money in certain spots. Like Blood Wolves was good money for me. Shurikens is like an okay place to burn Aggress at nighttime if you want to as a new player. The money's not bad there. Manshrooms, I made good money at Manshrooms. Ranaros, I forget that place. Tashira, I got lucky and didn't have to spend much time there because I got one of the full drops from Tashira. But like a couple of those places are actually good money spots for new players. So, but if you're a player who only has a certain amount of time a week, you definitely have to look at the game differently than somebody who can spend 6, 8, 10 hours a day grinding this game. So I think it's definitely a player by player basis.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, every player is going to find something different when they kind of come into the game. And like, do you have any advice for new players? Biggest advice.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Literally. Should they go to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if you're a new player spawning into the game, let's say that you're not super hip on Twitch or YouTube. Like, where do you think they should go for help?
So the thing is I would say World Chat, but you have to have megaphones to talk crazy. In World Chat.
There's no way you're about to tell a new player to go into World Chat.
But I mean, if I was a new player and I was completely lost on this game, I would be scouring YouTube. I would be on Twitch trying to find streamers that even small streamers, you can go to big streamers, but a lot of time, you know, big streamers miss that question, right? You know, just because their chat's moving kind of fast. Mm-hmm. But I would just be in people's stream. I would go to just a numerous amount of different streams and ask the same question. Even if somebody gave me an answer, I would go to another streamer and ask the same question just to see what mm-hmm. type of response that I got. Because in-game asking for help can be very detrimental because people will roast the shit out of you in this game. If you're a new player, and I would just be on YouTube, Google, and Twitch streamers and asking, I would ask the same question to different streamers just to see what type of responses I got. I think that's like
also,
the only way.
If you're a new player and you look at a class and you think it looks cool and you think you're going to have fun in that class, try it out. Don't mm-hmm. listen to the other people who are like, oh, that class sucks, don't play it. But like, play it, have fun with the game. Those people.
Yep, exactly. 100% I agree with Jay on that one. Play what you have fun with. Do not listen to the meta. Meta does not matter. That's mid-maxing, late game, if anything, type of stuff. You're a new player, try out. There's the trial characters for a reason. Try them out.
If you care about the meta, that's okay. But like, don't tell other people, like, you know, don't tell other people how to play the game, right? If you have any respect for your own autonomy to make your own decisions, also respect other people's autonomy to make their own decisions.
Oh, we don't do that in America. We have to tell people how to do things.
Yeah.
That's the best advice I can always give people too. The reason I put so much work into the Choose Your Class guides, because that was like hundreds of hours of work to get those what looked like very simple videos done, with like the correct information. Is because if a player chooses the correct class the first time, they're so much more likely to just stick with the game, right? How many players have we lost because they 100%. Chose the incorrect class? Like, because like we as creators didn't have a good enough intro to the game, basically. You know what I mean? Like, now if they're not about the content creator life, let's say they don't want to get on YouTube, they don't want to get on Twitch, what's the resource that a new player should use?
So I would try to find a guild that is recruiting new players and that are helpful. And it's okay to join a guild and leave. If you do not like the vibe of the guild, I would just try to find a guild where the players that are in the guild are active and helpful and just ask questions. You have to. I think that's like the only way to get help in this game is by finding a good guild that's willing to take the time out of their day to guide these new players. And there are guilds out there like that. There's many of them. But you absolutely. Just like, do not be afraid to join a guild and then leave. Like, if you don't like it, just get out of there, you know, and then try again. and you'll find a place. You'll find people that are helpful. Every MMO, there's always going to be people who don't care, and then you're always going to find people that want to help new players because they want their game to thrive. They want new players to feel welcome. They want, you know, the community and like the just the game to keep growing. So definitely find a guild that is willing to help new players for sure. I think that's like the only resource a player has if they don't like the social media stuff.
Yeah, there's also so many amazing resources online too, like Garmot.com, BDolytics, BD Foundry, all that stuff.
We don't go to BDolytics.
Oh.
They embed the shit out of their stream. Media, No. You go to Garmot.com,
and then there's Garmot.com,
and they also embed their stream, but we're gonna overlook it. We're gonna overlook that. There's a few sites like BDO Foundry is really good too, isn't it? A number of websites to go to. In terms of YouTube channels that I would recommend for guides, you enjoy watch my video. But like seriously, I think that evil do us harm.
Anders.
Anders is really solid. Yeah.
There's Blue Squadron. Who's that?
I'm actually going to be, because like when I play Tower Fantasy, they did a PlayStation port, and I moved over to PlayStation as a new player, and that's where my YouTube blew up, was doing new player guides, on Tower Fantasy, and I had a big majority of people playing on PlayStation the first time, not knowing where to go, so they go to YouTube. So one of my goals as a content creator is I really, really want to help out new players. I've always loved that type of content, running dungeons with new players, teaching people dungeons, anything like that. So one of my goals this year is starting from scratch as a brand new player, going through everything as a new player, like just the free Dream Horse, the new Tet Blackstar that you get, like just everything, like how to enhance your Naru gear to Vola gear, all these changes and all these quality of life changes that we have. It's a very big opportunity for content creators to start putting out content because times have changed. There's content out there that's just no longer relevant. There's guys that are just no longer relevant. So it's a good opportunity for content creators to help out the new player base and make some really good guides. So that's one of my goals.
Guides are kind of hard though. They require a lot of effort. You can just tell somebody repeatedly in Twitch chat over them, for Choice, for example, Choice has been telling people the same thing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's why that's
and around I mean, and around that's... he goes.
That's the content that I did before this game, so I wanna get back to that. I wanna be like, that was one of my New Year's resolution, was just being able to help the new player experience and not make the mistakes I made. And like I said, with all these quality of life changes and simplifications and condensing of items and all this stuff that they're doing for new players, the catch up mechanics for new players, me and Blonde Bear were actually talking about it this weekend. It's very, very good for new players. I mean, it's a lot easier even now than when I started 6 months ago. I didn't get a free Dream Horse. I didn't get a free Tet Blackstar.
Start. You got a free Pen Blackstar. Shut your mouth, Tony.
Three of them.
Yeah, it's a joke. Dude's actually complaining over here. It's actually insane. So that's all the advice and everything. Anything final you want to shout out? Maybe like advertise for the flock, give yourself a shout out here. We'll do closing thoughts here.
Yeah, so once again, you guys can catch me on YouTube very soon with some new guides at Tony2Ghost. If you guys are looking for a very chill, good vibe environment and want a node war, we are doing T3s and Siege. You guys can come try out, check out the vibe, see what it's like, but we would happy to have some nice good players for T3s and Siege. So join the flock.
Absolutely. And then shout yourself out.
Yep. My name is Tony2Ghost. Catch me live every day. I usually go live around 12 PM Eastern. I may start a little later because I'm going to be working on YouTube early in the morning, but you can catch me live every day at twitch.tv/Tony2Ghost.
It do be like that with the YouTubes. All right, and Jaekoon, closing thoughts. I know we talked a lot with Tony this time, but like closing thoughts on like new players and stuff. I've been enjoying.
Closing thoughts is thank you, Tony, for coming on and talk with us. I'm Jaekoon, and this is Lil J, and you can find us at twitch.tv/Jaekoon at VT, V before the T.
And this is Daddy's Little Meatball, Blue Squadron. You can find me at twitch.tv/Norelio. YouTube.com/Blue Squadron Live. Guys, there's always new YouTube videos every single day. There's always something new going on my channel, on my social medias as well. I'm trying to pop off on Twitter too. Trying to work on that Instagram. We just went on a lot of trips and we just posted a lot of pictures to Instagram as well. We've also got really funny reels and stuff on there as well. We're going to be doing a T10 attempt here in a few minutes. And then I'm going to try to collab with that guy that spent like $700 in his first day or whatever in his first 3 days. I'm going to try to kind of jump in a call with him here in a few minutes. And then, and we'll do a patch note rundown.
Oh, you gotta watch this, Jay. It's
Hercules.
It's good stuff.
He went offline. Okay. I'll get him next time. Then it's fine. His name's Hercules. Yeah. You should watch the video. It's really good. It's really solid. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.